Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It is a great day to the Lord. I know we have some visitors with us, and we're very glad that you are among us and hope that you feel at home. We feel like everyone comes and worships with us. We are glad to bring us. She's feeling kind of lonely, so she would love a visitor. If you can get out there to see her, she would be. Now, Ms. Rob, can you have our announcements? There's two buttons there.
Yes, I know. Thank you, Annie. Well, good morning. Welcome to the House of the Lord. I'm Robin Stewart, and I'll be serving as your leader just for the month of December. Okay, December is coming, so we have a lot of start. Please, if you haven't already, fill out the attendance sheets and black books. If you have a prayer request or if you have a praise report, please don't forget to write those down so that we can share those on Monday night. And also, if you have done something for someone else this week, please put your salty service card in the device so we can keep this tally up. Everybody got your ear on? Busy, busy. There's going to be this morning at 9 to 11. Also, we're at 10 a.m. So we can have breakfast with Santa. Church when they go home. And can we see the board? Santa members have a celebrate Jesus party for children after 11 o'clock. Guess what? Parents get to have a parent or not. Stop for the entry, but get to come back at 2:30 to pick up your children. Because if you don't come back, they're telling you. Yes. All that kind of stuff. Okay. Staff and our lovely pastor is going to that will be Saturday also. The time is from 2 to 5. You have this in your bulletin, okay? And all are welcome. And isn't it nice to be able to go somewhere where all that is needed is just your presence? You don't have to bring a gift or anything at all, just your smile, presence, and come and fellowship with the family of God. Okay, next we have... Did you know that the church members get a discount? I know that. We're not ready. They're sitting together on our property, and just tell them you're a church member, and you'll get a discount. And please also don't forget that next Sunday is going to be one service Sunday. We'll not be having two services. We'll have a combined service Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:30. First starts at 10:45, and we will be having Christmas and Hanukkah and our Easter. So please mark your calendars and make sure they're not late. Okay. On Christmas Eve, we are going to have two services, and one will be on the sick. Okay. Also, in your bulletins, we have a beautiful story for the point set. So, like, please fill out the green sheet and the ushers. Okay. Also, we'll now go underneath the voltage. Monday night, we'll follow up and write that big bar. Also, on our worship committee, Thursday, friendship club, Christmas party. And then, we're going to be doing their time. Bring a lady's gift. If you're a man, bring a man's gift. And I believe the limit is $10 and have it wrapped and ready to go, okay? So, you can have fun at. You think that's all of our announcements? I'm
Kennedy. I'm Shane Henry, June, and Friday.
Very good. And, yes, ma'am. But he's doing it every day. Oh my. Well, what a blessing that is. I think we pray God that we're truly a blessed church. Okay. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Well, praise God. Okay. Congregation, if you would please turn in your bulletins to the responsive reading. We will have our family come up and do our second lighting of the candles for Advent. Paul and Diane.
The Spirit of God rests fully on the coming Lord.
The promised Christ is full of wisdom and understanding in the Spirit of God.
The promised Lord will rule with true justice and righteousness.
All fear will change to comfort. All enemies will be transformed into friends.
As we trust in God, we find our peace.
In the grace of God, we find our hope.
Let us, with hope, kindle the light of the Lord.
We've got a slight change this morning in the first hymn.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. 21:9.
In honor of Pearl Harbor Day, we're going to sing Eternal Father, Strong to Save, and it will be on the screen behind me.
That it was Jesus, Christmas, Jesus' birthday, and we were going to think about what to give Jesus. I know that all of you have been thinking about your list for Christmas. Do you have a list that you either give to Santa Claus or to your parents or your grandparents? You have a list of things on your list? Okay. What are some things on your list that you want from Santa Claus? Some sports cars? Anything else that's on your list? What, John? Legos. I think he's already has a few of those. He's going to get some more Legos. Anything else that's on your list, Santa? Puzzles. Okay. Megan likes to do puzzles. You don't. I bet Santa Claus is going to do something. What would you like Santa Claus to do? An elf dress? Yes. Oh, that's from the movie Frozen, isn't it? Yeah. It's going to be a little special outfit. Yeah. But I don't know if Santa's going to ring a puzzle or not. I'm not sure. Santa, do that thing, buddy. Christmas is not our birthday, but it's whose birthday? It's Jesus' birthday. So we've been thinking, love, love. Jesus wants our love. Exactly what Jesus wants. But not just love is a feeling, love in action. Love in action. Love is the things we do for people, right? We're going to think about just what we can do. We'll talk about this next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I want to get your candy before you give it to you. We'll try to thank you so much for the good gift of Jesus Christ, your Son. And I thank you so much for these children and their families and ask that you continue to let them grow in your grace and favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now, I get to pick. I get to pick. Here you go. Here you go, John. That worked pretty good.
Thanks to Joan for that idea.
Put me on the naughty list.
And will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings? Let us bow our heads and pray. At this time of year, we thank you for the greatest gift ever, your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we remember that this Christmas is not about us, it's about him. And that we may lead lives worthy of the calling of Christ. May Christ bless each one and each giver and all the gifts that are given for your glory, O God, toward your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just beautiful, Rhonda. Thank you. It's time for our scripture reading this morning. Our first scripture is found in the holy book, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered that sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is in the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Our second reading will be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the reading of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I bet many of you have a favorite Christmas movie. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie? What's your favorite movie, John?
Die Hard,
right. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay. I think my favorite is Charlie Brown Christmas. Mary, what were you going to say? Scrooge, okay. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? Bradley? The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is your favorite movie. Home Alone. That's a good one, John. John agrees. How many of you seen that movie called Christmas Vacation starring Chevy Chase? Yep. Well, that movie is a big favorite around Christmas time, although I haven't seen it in a couple of years. Maybe they usually recycle those every few years or so. We can identify, I think, with the character that Clark Griswold, who does everything within his control to give his family the perfect Christmas. But of course, everything goes perfectly wrong. It starts with Clark taking his family to the wilderness in search of the perfect Christmas tree. Now, it's not a smooth road to get there, though. There's a road rage incident, and it ends with the family station wagon crashing into a snowbank. So they get out of the car, and they hike into the woods, and they hike, and they hike, and they hike, looking for the best tree, the most perfect tree. And then he finds it. They find it, and they have found this perfect tree that is better than any other tree, and they realize they haven't brought their saw with them. So from wrestling with the Christmas lights to suffering visits from family members that are difficult, the Griswolds continue to face experience that cause many of us to think, "I've been there, I've done that. It's the same all over. Christmas is overrated. Bah, humbug. How many of you have had the experience of trying to assemble a bicycle or another toy at 2 a.m. on Christmas evening, and you realize you should have paid the money to get it assembled? Like Clark, our intentions to plan a good old-fashioned Christmas may not always live up to the consumer-focused marketing companies have made it out to be. Christmas is not a perfect time, but we try and make it that way. And unfortunately, the unrealistic vision of Christmas threatens to replace the biblical meaning of God with us. What a shame if that is true. Because after weeks of preparation, all for the purpose of creating one perfect day in an imperfect year, someone will probably be upset because they didn't get the present they wanted. Or a toy is already broken and it's just out of the box. Grandpa drank too much, or Mom is mad at Dad for calling Grandma a bad word. Christmas doesn't exclude bad things happening to us. The Christmas season is sometimes even a painful reminder of memories that have gone in previous years. Like this word from a Facebook friend who says, "That Christmas when my dad left our family was a very sad Christmas. I was 6 years old. My aunts and my family went out of their way to see that we still had presents and a Christmas tree. While I was grateful for the gifts, it was not the presents or the tree that stuck in my mind, but the lesson that I learned," he says, "that God can and will help you through the dark times in your life. Even in the midst of the unexpected and the imperfect, God shows up." And that's the message of the Christmas season. Even at Christmas time, people experience sickness and death and divorce and unemployment. Life is terribly messy, and it doesn't care whether it's Christmas or any other time of the year. But in the midst of our mess, God is here. No matter what we're struggling to overcome, no matter what life issues have come our way, God promises to show up. And Christmas is God's way of reminding us that amid uncertainty, God comes to bring us peace, purpose, joy, hope, wholeness, and salvation. Now, have you ever thought about how messy that first Christmas really was? We try to sanitize that, but in reality, Jesus was born in a stable, a cave where animals were kept. And it wasn't clean. They had dung. They had flies. It wasn't. The point I'm trying to make here is that walking in the way of Jesus, as Mary and Joseph were doing, is neither safe nor predictable. It causes outcomes that we cannot necessarily prepare for. Do you think Mary was prepared for what was about to come to her? Things can get downright messy in life. We can see how messy it is when we look at that first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, part of which was read by Robin this morning. And this is what it says. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. That virgin's name was Mary." So how emotionally prepared do you suppose Mary, who was probably 12 to 15 years old, how well do you think she was prepared for this life experience? She was thrust into a grown-up situation all of a sudden, and she barely more than a child herself. Do you think the thought ever crossed her mind that her parents might not believe her explanation? We already know that Joseph rejected her earlier explanations from Matthew chapter 1, but then he later comes around and supports her and gets behind her. So miracles, God's miracles, often happen in the midst of a mess. in the midst of the reality of our lives. And Jesus' birth was no exception. It was a miracle in a mess. But it begins with the angel's promise, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." She was not alone. She had the Lord with her. She had her cousin Elizabeth. But this is the very first step of faith, knowing that God is with us, that we are all favored, and that God is the one who comes to us for relationship, no matter what the circumstances. God is seeking us for his message of salvation. This message can be encapsulated in two Bible verses. The one we heard already, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the second is, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." God not only came 2,000 years ago, God is here now. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart and my heart today. God is pursuing the relationship. God is the lover in the relationship, seeking us out, pursuing us for a relationship. And not only is God pursuing a relationship with you and me, he's pursuing a relationship with everybody who's outside these doors. Everybody who does not yet know the love of God or have Christ in their lives. And what are we going to do about that? Are we willing to give what it takes in order to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? That's the United Methodist mission for the world, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Will we go into dark and strange places with God's good news? We should be. Will we reach out to the poor and the homeless and the children? We should. Now, we know that God's favor can't be earned. God comes to us even when we're doing everything wrong. God comes whether we're naughty or nice. Why? Because God loves us and we are highly favored. And so is everyone. From the person who's addicted to meth to the man holding out a sign by the highway, God is reaching out not just to us and people like us, but to the world outside these doors. Being favored doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. So we look at the situation from Mary's point of view. She had worked really hard to do what was right, and yet it seemed that wrong still showed up. We are told in verse 34, after the angel's announcement, that the only thing on Mary's mind was, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Have you ever found yourself wondering how you could be in the situation that you're in? Maybe you've done everything you know how to do to be both faithful to God and true to your family. And then you're notified that 4 weeks before the holiday that you will be laid off at the beginning of the year. Or your husband tells you he doesn't love you anymore and wants a divorce. Or your 17-year-old brother is diagnosed with cancer. Or the high school guidance counselor calls and says that he believes your son is using drugs. How can this be, we can say with Mary, how can this be when I have tried so hard to do what is right? And then if you answer that question, you can begin to feel the pain of Mary, the fear that she might have gone through, the loneliness that she experienced. She needed to know what? God loves her. She needed to know that she was not alone. Even when life didn't make sense, Mary chose to serve God. And she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary is the example for us of serving God even when life makes no sense, even when we are overcome and overwhelmed with life. After all, it's not about you and me. We miss life when we use God to get what we want instead of allowing ourselves to be used by God for God's desires, for God's wants. And that's why I want the children to think at this time of year about what God wants. God wants us to love Him in return. Jesus wants our love, our commitment, our time. This is an imperfect season of life. There's nothing perfect about it. And some of us may not even feel like celebrating Christmas. But it's not our birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. And by celebrating Christmas, we are celebrating someone else who suffered too. The angel said to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." God's love and favor doesn't necessarily mean the path of faith and following Christ is going to be neat and predictable. We are to take up our crosses, are we not? We are signing up for the most radical life possible when we say yes to Jesus. Because following Jesus Christ is messy business. But even in the midst of the unexpected, the messy, the devastating, we can fully expect God to show up, no matter what we're struggling with, no matter how imperfect our life, no matter how sad we are, God will show up. This is what Christmas is all about. God shows up. Praise God. Amen and amen. I invite you to turn in your hymn books to page 8 as we prepare for Holy Communion. Actually, I'm going to begin at the bottom of page 7 with the invitation. We make our invitation to all who are within the sound of my voice so that they know that this is not my table or a Methodist table. This is the Lord's table, and that all are welcome to come and kneel and receive God's good gifts. Following which, we make our own confession to Almighty God before we partake of the words of institution. Our disabled, all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will and broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of your audience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The table is prepared. The gifts of God are for the people of God, and all those seeking to desire to know God better and to love God and walk with him more nearly, you will come as the ushers direct you, and you come to partake of the elements of God. Will you come?
Thank you.
cannot be returned, that we cannot pay enough, dear God. But we know, O God, that you have not called us to pay that price, that we are just presenting ourselves as who we are, complete and whole, in your name. Use us, take us, and make us be your people in this time, in this place, to let the world know of your love. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 666, we'll sing Shalom to you. All right.
Just a number. What's that doing?